Hello again. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm having a great time always talking to entrepreneurs, and I love when entrepreneurs show up with books. And this one's been engraved here. For those who are on our YouTube channel, look at this. Nice book, hardcover versus mine, softcover. You see, when you self-publish like this person did, you spend the money to get a proper cover versus my cheapo publisher, I hope you're listening, Mitchell, who put me in a softcover. He is a great publisher. Now, I just want you to know who we're talking to. We're talking to David Humphrey, CPA, CVA, president of Beacon Equity Advisors, and the book is The Art of Business Value Enhancement. Wow.
Good morning.
Oh, that's two titles, really. The Art of Business and its Value Enhancement, correct?
It's one title. But
and how does this book create value enhancement?
The idea behind this book, Jeffrey, is that we tried to take a step back and educate a business owner on how buyers look at their business. And if a buyer understands more about how, sorry, if the seller understands more about how a buyer is looking at their business, they know what to do to help enhance their own business value. So if you were selling your house, right, you'd mulch the front yard, you'd put some fertilizer down, you'd paint.
Step out. It starts with baiting my wife. Can we sell the house?
You'd clean present well,
right,
so that you can entice a buyer to pay your asking price.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do the same thing with a asset that's probably 3, 4, 5, 10 times more valuable than your house? Why wouldn't you take a couple of steps to present it better so that the investors, the entrepreneurs, the people who are looking at the business go, this is the kind of business I want to buy?
Well, you know, I think there's a debate in there. There's some inherent conflicts in there, but I'm not going to give you my opinion yet. Investment bankers want to sell now, just like house brokers. They have a timetable, but you're right. I've often seen business owners, and I've told them, you know, you probably should wait a year or two. There's some work you need to do on the house if you want to get full value.
With a guy on Friday down in Connecticut, same idea.
Right.
The follow-up was, you're probably 3 years away from selling, and you need to do,
if you're going to get what you want, what you need.
If you're going to get value. What
right.
you need is a whole nother conversation.
Well, I think that has to be factored in, doesn't it? Because too many times people do sell their businesses and they don't get what they need, and then they're back trying to play the same game again without the same platform.
They have trouble getting what they need or want because their business isn't positioned well. And I think that that's a big part of what we're trying to convey. And again, if you tried to sell your house the day after the hurricane, or with the lawn all brown, it just doesn't present as well.
And there's Chris would do something like that.
But there's so many things that a business owner, so many levers a business owner controls.
So, you know, I think it's, you know, you hit a topic that's been an issue for me with a lot of my own clients and people that I talk to every day in and day out in my consulting role. You know, what was your inspiration?
Jeffrey, there was a business owner we worked with in 2005, 2006 that came to us. They had developed the business, grown the business. They came to America after the Second World War and started a distribution business. And the business had grown to a nice size company. They were an important part of the economic activity on the South Shore. Grown the business, handling 6,000 SKUs. And they were managing it all using a Lotus 1-2-3 in DOS spreadsheet in 2006. And I just real quick remind you that Windows 95 was called Windows 95 because it came out in 1995. So 11 years later, they're still using DOS-based Lotus 1-2-3 to manage 6,000 SKUs on a DOS-based
incomprehensible.
It is, almost is.
For me, it is. Yeah, not in the world I live in. It's incomprehensible. What a waste. I mean, they must be, the inefficiencies of just doing that, the lost revenues.
The lost revenues, the lost efficiency, during this period of time leading up to it, businesses of this size, this nature, handling this many SKUs, had gone to barcode scanning and were updating their inventory
right.
in real time. They were able to tell customers and schedule product based on what day, what the weather was outside, what kind of shipments they needed to do. And so their competitors were moving forward and integrating the cost savings into the into their pricing that they were offering their customers. And this particular business owner was not. And what we figured out when we took a step back, when we did the postmortem, was in the last 5 years of running this business owner lost $1 million a year in value. And that really caused us to step back and say, what happened? Where did their advisory team let them down? Where did they not maximize opportunity? And what should they have done? And we actually figured out that with an investment of less than $500,000, they could have turned that whole thing around. But to a degree, they stopped moving their business forward.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore they lost value.
I think most people do. They get sort of into a routine and they leave it the way it is. A lot of like some cars that just sort of, you see the same car for 10, 12 years. And they lose the ability because they're making money on it. They
exactly.
Become cash cows and they don't remember to innovate.
But if we were having a conversation about our 401k portfolio
mm-hmm.
and what stocks are in there and what stocks were not, we would look through and say, is this stock a growth stock? Is this stock a value stock? Is this stock a stock to follow up on one of your programs? Does it have a conservation bent to it, or does it have a humanistic side to it? And so we would ask ourselves, is this the right investment for our portfolio, given our age, our desires, and our outlook? Why don't we do that same thing with our business that is our single largest investment? Why don't we take a step back and look at our business and say, is this the right time to sell? What are we leaning towards? What are we trying to drive in order to make the business the most valuable? And if our business is going to stop growing, if we had a stock that management announced, sorry, we're done, we're just going to maximize profits for the next 5 years, stock value is going to take a hit. And we meet so many entrepreneurs, you and I both as consultants, meet so many entrepreneurs who do coast in those last couple of years without thinking about the value.
Not sometimes, not just the last couple of years. Second generation, third generation, they can coast for a whole generation because they just don't have that entrepreneurial spirit that got passed down to them.
And so while they're making a cash flow and they're having a nice job, they're losing value.
Right. They're managing the business for a paycheck, not for equity building.
Correct.
You know, in your book, you talk about think like a buyer. Which is it's sort of the way I think. I always say think with the end in mind. What do you mean by think like a buyer?
Well, let's to continue with the example we talked about a few moments ago. If you were going to buy that distribution business we were talking about, and you walked in and looked at monochrome computers using floppy drives, and I mean 5 1/4 floppy drives. Well, when was the last time you even saw one of those? You would sit back and say, okay, if I'm going to run this business for the next 15, 20 years, I'm going to need to upgrade the computer system. I'm going to need to buy the software. I'm going to need to invest in training my team to use the software well. All that burden you're putting on me, the buyer.
Right.
And so I'm going to take a discount.
Right.
And it's not just dollar for dollar. If it was going to be $300,000 to upgrade the system, I'm not just taking $300,000 off the purchase price. I'm taking $500,000 off the purchase price because I'm the one who has to do it. No different than, again, if we looked at your house and go, it needs a new roof, and the roof is $50,000. Am I just going to deduct $50,000 or am I going to deduct $75,000? Because
right.
you made the problem mine.
Another point in your book, I think for our listeners, you talk about sticky. What do you mean by sticky?
Sticky. Sticky is why does a customer continue to do business with this particular business? Is it because they like...
Well, that's an interesting term.
Do they like it because they like talking to Donna, your customer service
right.
rep?
What are the main motivators for sticky?
Or do they buy it because you have products that others don't? Because you've got a better delivery time? Do you have a better ecosystem that puts all the things together? So, for instance, one of the best known sticky is sort of Apple. That your phone and your computer and your pad, they all tend to work well together. And they created an image around that. And whether that's right or wrong, that's their image.
Interesting.
And so the idea that they're going to come out with a watch and you're going to buy the watch because it's going to work with the other three things you have. How do we translate that into our businesses.
Interesting. I will have another question. You know, and at Radio Entrepreneurs, bless you, when we say the term sticky, we know it's time to clean Chris's laptop. we all just say sticky, and all of a sudden people show up with some wipes. You know, you talk, what are the greatest deal killers for deals for you or that you see?
Well, the biggest deal killer is time.
Time?
Time. Time kills deals. And it's a lack of urgency to get something done. It's even the idea that once, Jeffrey, you own a business, I'm going to buy your business, you and I have a handshake of a deal. And now we need the lawyers to paper it. We need the accountants to verify it. We need the bankers to fund it. And during the course of that, the deal never gets better. So you and I reached a purchase price of $1 million on the, and good things happen. Great, I win. If bad things happen, I cancel the deal. I don't move forward. And so you have a situation with during a period of time between the handshake and a closing that the deal doesn't get better, and you, the business owner, has all of the risk of loss that if bad things happen. And bad things happen. 9/11 happens. Tsunamis hit Japan. They happen.
Unplanned things happen.
Completely unplanned.
You plan and God laughs.
Yes, exactly. And right. So the idea that during this period of time, all of a sudden you land two new contracts. A major supplier comes in and says, listen, we'd like to give you better pricing. You don't come back to the buyer and say, give me a better price. It's not going to happen. But if bad things happen, buyer goes, ah.
Well, I think good leaders anticipate problems and deal with them before they happen. I think that'll be the dialogue around Belichick Collins.
Absolutely.
Good leader anticipating a problem before it happens and trying to make the best out of the situation before it happens.
And making sure your whole team is working with you.
And the team knows what it means to be team.
Correct. And so, but
either
that's
you're coachable or you're not coachable, no matter who you are.
And that's also the idea behind not letting your business coast.
Right. No, it's interesting. You know, good book, important book. I've told you it's a big issue with most of my clients. And so, you know, you should get us some copies. We'll give it to people here. But if people want to find the book on their own and help you, how do they find that book? And then how do they find you? Because you're an advisor.
So, well, thank you for the very nice softball. I'm with Beacon Equity Advisors. We help people buy and sell businesses. And to a degree, the book is a basis of things that have gone wrong over the last 20 years. Things that have caused a buyer to walk away from a deal. And so, if this was an interesting topic to some of your listeners, and I hope that it is, we'd be happy to share a copy of the book with them. It's available on our website, and my team would be happy to send that out right out to your listeners.
Great. Thank you.
And so BeaconEquityAdvisors.com.
Makes it pretty easy. Everybody, I've been speaking with David Humphrey of Beacon Equity Advisors, and the book, again, for those YouTube, I don't think we have long YouTube series, The Art of Business Value Enhancement, which is critical, because I always say, don't sell it for what you can get, sell it for what you need, and that means you got to do some work on the business sometimes. And there can be a delta between those two points. And my name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm also chairman of the board of Mage LLC, here with Chris Jarrell, our executive producer, or we call him Sticky when we're off air. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.